Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good evening, live from Bushwick. This is Ferment About It on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
I'm Mary Izette.
And I'm Chris Kuzmi.
And we're your co-hosts to this weekly journey of all things fermented.
Archived on Stitcher, iTunes, and right here on HeritageRadioNetwork.org, which is celebrating today the launch of our new website. And we're very excited about it. New features. If you have any comments or please tell us what you think about it, either by tweeting at us or by emailing us, fermentaboutit@gmail.com. This is episode 132. Is that true, Mary? She says,
I don't know.
Oh, come on. It's on the new website. You can find out at the new website. We are really excited for this upcoming week. We're going to the Great American Beer Festival. We had a really great weekend over the weekend that was this last weekend. And I like the word weekend because it symbolizes the end of weeks. So they say. Am I stalling? What are you doing over there on the computer, Mary? I'm not stalling, actually. We had a really great weekend celebrating New York City, all things New York City beer. We had Blocktoberfest, which was a fundraiser for the New York City Brewers Guild, which is in charge of organizing and hosting New York City Beer Week, which happens in late February. So February 19th, I think, this year, straight into...
You might be making that up.
I'm horrible with dates right now. I'm not doing well on that. Anyways, in February, put it on your calendar and radar.
February 19th.
It is, yeah. February 19th. I was just looking at the postcard earlier today. I should know that. Come visit us in New York during New York City Beer Week. It's really exciting here. And Chris, you just... that voice you just heard was our friend Chris O'Leary of Brew York, New York, our guest today. This is our annual Chris O'Leary
Seems
show.
That way.
Yeah,
I'm good for one a year.
Our second annual,
at least one a year. We'll get you on more. But I'm bringing you up and into this right now before we go into announcements and then get down to the nitty gritty of why we're all here because it's really exciting in New York. And your blog is Brew York, New York, and you just wrote an article again about upcoming breweries and things that we have to look forward to. What was in your article?
Yeah, no, we've got at least four under construction right now, and more to come beyond that too, which is great. We hit we're at 21 brick and mortar breweries in the five boroughs right now, which, you know, on a per capita basis is kind of embarrassing.
In a city of 8 million.
In a city of 8 million people. But, I mean, considering, you know, the challenges of real estate and inspections and things like that that hold up a lot of these projects, we're you know, still growing at a pretty good clip.
Rapid clip, and which is different than years past.
Oh, yeah.
The challenges were the people weren't there for it. People weren't supporting it necessarily. And now the awareness and the boom of craft beer supports this kind of growth, which is fucking awesome.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, we had, when I started the site 6 years ago now, over 6 years ago, I had, let's see, I think we had four brick and mortar breweries in the city. We had Chelsea.
That was 6.5 years ago?
Yeah, Chelsea, Brooklyn, Six Point, and Kelso. Green Point Beer Works. So
yeah.
That was it. And now we have 21.
Now we have 21.
And more on the way. So it's been very rapid. But I mean, I think one of the great things about it, I pointed out that, you know, some of the pedigree of some of the brewers that are starting their own places now, we have a lot of talented people here.
Yes.
And because it costs so much, the initial investment, the initial outlay to get a brewery open here is so expensive that if you're going to find people who are willing to put their money behind something, you must have a good product because...
Absolutely.
You know, you have people here are really smart about the investments they make. So, and we've seen that. You know, we've seen that in the places that have opened. So, yeah, no, there's so much new stuff here. You know, and New York State Beer Week is a great time to get out and try it. You know, whether you're here or visiting from out of town, there's just so much new stuff that, you know, you're guaranteed to find something you're really going to enjoy.
And to that regard, a lot of what has made New York City Brewers kind of come up in the talent here is through the expanding of how many homebrew clubs there are in town.
Oh, yeah.
And the stores and the research from the communities, which brings me to the first announcement. this weekend, September 26th, there will be an event called Prost. It's a celebration of German made Oktoberfest, or home-brewed German lagers, German-style beers. It will be held at Industry City Distillery. And you can find
Industry City, which is near Sunset Park, for those of you who haven't been down there.
35th and 3rd.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Chris and I were just down there last week for an awesome cheese and cocktail event.
Ooh.
With the Jessica Sennett from Cheese Grotto. Anyway.
More. She'll be on the show soon, too, mm-hmm. especially following that. She's doing some awesome and really fun stuff. You can find out more information about that if you go to Bruminaries. Bruminaries is probably New York City's newest homebrew club, and they do a lot. No, not the newest, but one of the newest homebrew clubs. Bruminaries, BrewminariesBRewminaries.com. Find out information on Prost.
Cool.
The other thing is, Chris and I are headed down to the World Beer Festival in Durham on October. It's the second weekend of October, right?
It's October 10th.
Yeah, October 10th. So we'll have more about that in upcoming shows, but that's going to be an awesome festival as well.
And what's that other thing you got, Mary? Our friend Jason Saylor, speaking of homebrewers going pro, he was in your article.
Yes, he was.
Tell us a little about Strong Rope.
Me?
Yeah. What do you know about?
Well, here's the thing. I think it's going to be great. He will be coming onto the scene as the newest addition to what is becoming a nice little brewery cluster in the Gowanus neighborhood in Brooklyn, which is pretty cool. He's super talented as a home brewer, and now he has a Kickstarter that's going that runs through, I think, this weekend, right?
Yep, 9 days to go. So Jason's trying to build a draft system and taproom bar. So please support that. Just go to Kickstarter.com and search for Strong Rope Brewery.
He's an incredibly talented brewer. He's going to focus on New York State local ingredients, and that's going to be really a lot of his thing, just local community, supporting local New York State agriculture. And his wood that on this Kickstarter, the bar that's being made, is fallen wood from Sandy, I believe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep. And you know what I think is really
black walnut.
Yeah, black walnut, yeah. What I think is great is, you know, in a lot of other places, you know, brewers with an idea, like, have a Kickstarter, like, I want to open a brewery, so I'm going to do a Kickstarter. He's already got the brewery, you know, he's got everything he needs. He just wants to open a tap room so people can come and experience it firsthand at its freshest. And you know, if you truly believe in that as a concept, that's why you'd support something like that. Rather than, I've never had any of your beer before, I don't know if you're capable as a brewer, but I'm still going to put money behind you starting a brewery from scratch.
And we know his equipment works because he got it from Rockaway.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
And I think that's one of the coolest things about New York City is, first of all, New York State laws are great in that they allow pretty much any type of brewery to have a tasting room. And so almost all of the breweries, there are a few exceptions, but almost all the breweries in New York City have tap rooms. Most of them are open on the weekends, some of them during the week, but it's very cool. It's always a lot of fun to go and, like you said, you know, visit the brewery and get the beer where it's at the source, where it's fresh, delicious. A lot of times they'll have more varieties. But for those of you who can't get to the source, that's what something like the Great American Beer Festival is great for. So, well, first of all, Chris, so you've been on for the last 2 years, at least, a quest to visit as many breweries as you possibly can, basically.
Yes.
So what did you end up with last year?
Hold on, give us numbers. Give us stats first.
Okay, so last year I went to 150 total breweries. breweries. And I felt that I kind of, well, actually the original goal was 100. Mm-hmm. And when I hit 100 in September, I realized, let's do a stretch goal. So I hit 150. And in fact, I visited brewery number 150 on December 27th. So
wow.
It was down right to the wire. Yeah. It was down to the wire. So this year I decided, well, instead of 150 breweries, how about 150 new breweries? So 150 breweries I had never visited before.
Yes.
Well, I have surpassed that goal now. I hit 150 Labor Day weekend when I was in Indianapolis. And that was actually Sun King was number 150. Who will be pouring at GABF this year. And total, as of today, I've visited, including repeat visits, not repeat visits of the same brewery in the same year, but total breweries visited at least once this year, 194.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
So you know, you say all this, but I know you, but you know, it sounds like you're a ticker, but you're not a ticker. I feel like you are the kind of person that gives each one of those breweries enough respect, and I feel like you not only visited these, it's not just a ticking. You understand all of those, or you had a decent visit. Like, you know, you probably had a flight at each one of those.
Yeah, I at least try to have my rule is I have to have at least two different beers for it to truly count, but I try to do a flight everywhere I go, within reason. You know, if I'm driving, then I'm not going to have a flight of beer. I'm going to have, you know, a couple samples,
and three flights,
chat with them, and move on. You know, to somewhere else, or you know, especially if I'm visiting multiple breweries in a day. I did have one day I visited 12 this year. all of them were new.
That's 24 beers by my full or 24 flights.
The dinner between flights. Number 10 and 11 was a little fuzzy, but that was in Colorado, where it's very easy to find 12 new breweries to visit in a day. So that was that
even
was
though you say highlight. That, but how many times have you been to Denver in the last couple of years?
Oh gosh.
I mean, a lot.
Probably like 8 or 9 times. I've lost count. But every time I go, I try to go to a new brewery. You know, even I was there for 24 hours for a trip for my day job 2 weeks ago, and still managed to get to one new brewery. And same thing last week. Popped over to a brewery called Barnett and Son in Parker, Colorado. So out in the southeastern suburbs of Denver. So I've been kind of just roaming around. I did. I also have the new goal, by the way, is to visit a brewery in all 50 states. And on that, I'm at 34 now. So I have 16 to go, and I'll check another off my list next month when I go to Montana. So that'll be fun.
Awesome.
So I've been a little busy, you know.
Yes, no doubt. What'd you do this weekend? So we were talking about how I visited two New York City breweries this weekend. Actually, I was at Dirk the Norseman, which is where Greenpoint
beer and ales
yep.
brews out of. Chris and Eric, we've had them on the show a couple times. And then I also was at Kelso this weekend on Saturday.
Greenpoint Beer Works.
Yeah.
You hit both Greenpoint.
One
of them actually in Greenpoint.
Yeah. But what it, so it was Zwanza Day on Saturday.
Yes,
so
was.
I didn't do Zwanza Day. Chris and I were helping out at Blocktoberfest, which was the New York City Brewers Guild fundraiser for Beer Week. But that was a lot of fun. It was cool to see, to taste a lot of, you know, New York City made beers and see friends.
Sure.
But what did you do?
Well, I happened to be in Denver again, so they did it there at Crooked Stave, in their barrel room, which was really cool because there's a lot to explore their space, which I hadn't really seen before. They have a nice little tap room there too.
Is that in the same place that it?
That is not in the Source.
Okay.
This is their actual barrel room, which is at 46 and Pecos,
okay.
Kind of northwest of downtown Denver. And it's a beautiful space, but we lined up. So the first person in line apparently was in line at 4:15 a.m. On Saturday morning. We got there at 6:25, and we were the 48th and 49th people in line by my count. So,
and what, did they give tickets out, or what? How did they do
you,
it?
Everyone just respected the fact that if you put your chair at that point in line, that's where you were in line, and we all lined up, and when they opened the doors, we all went in. But for the 4 hours between when we got there and when we actually went in, it was basically a giant bottle share in the parking lot, and it was incredible. I mean, it was so cool. Like, people just broke out some really great bottles of beer, and you know, it's not something you could do when you're waiting outside on Metropolitan Avenue to go into Spite and Dival, or on Houston Street to go into Fool's Gold, although I heard that a couple people cracked open bottles while they were waiting outside of Fool's Gold.
Those were the two Zwanza day locations for New York City.
Yes, yes. But Crooked Stave, it was a big party, basically. But, like, you know, or, you know, a bottle share with, like, 250 of your closest friends or so. you know, I had stuff that I never imagined that I would have that morning, you know. A couple things from Wicked Weed, some stuff from... This is a place that was kind of off my radar, but apparently is the huge buzz in Colorado right now. That's Casey. They're doing a lot of farmhouse style beers, lots of sour and stuff like that.
Casey is an acronym, or KCCASEY?
CASEY.
Okay.
They're all the buzz among beer geeks in Denver right now, and they're about a 2.5 hour drive from Denver, and they don't have regular hours. They just kind of open via Facebook, they announce it, and people will drive the 2.5 hours from Denver just to go and buy their bottles. So,
and you enjoyed them?
I enjoyed them quite a bit. And I'll have more when I go back to Denver on Wednesday. So, there was just some amazing stuff there. And everyone's so friendly. It's like, okay, among our circle of friends, we poured the beers. And if there was some left in the bottle, everyone would just walk down the line and offer it to other people in line that were just hanging out, drinking a few beers.
Craft beer community. All love.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're going to take a break, and we will be right back with Getting Ready for GABF.
For Men About It.
Still paying attention? Are you there? Hello, 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 hello. I'm talking to you. Hi. Hey, this is Jack Inslee. I'm the executive producer here at Heritage Radio Network. I've been here at the station since 2009, and I cannot believe just how much this network has grown over that time. We've been able to grow because of donations from people like you. So if you're enjoying this, if you laughed, if you learned something, contribute anything. $1, $2, $10, $100, $1,000, anything counts. And trust me, we'll appreciate seeing your name come through on the donations. So consider visiting heritageradionetwork.org, click on that little beating heart, the donate button, and show us you care. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy the rest of the show. In 1996, L. Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Welcome back to Foment About It on heritageradionetwork.org. So we're in the studio with Chris O'Leary from Brew York, New York. Blog.
For our annual
Twitter, Instagram.
All those fun, exciting sources. Brew_York on those.
Ah,
Twitter and Instagram.
I know that. I see it all the time.
And so we're all, the three of us, are all getting ready to head out to JBF. Chris and I are flying out tomorrow evening, actually. You're going out Wednesday?
Yeah, I'm going out Wednesday night.
Hopefully we have proven in the first half of this show why we should all listen to Chris O'Leary. He has a very informed opinion from breweries around the country and is dedicated to learning yet more. It's still interesting to you somehow, all these breweries.
It,
and you're
it
still
never
going,
bores me. It never bores me.
Never bores him.
And I also have a, I think an 8-year veteran of JBF. So, I mean, still relatively short in the history of that festival because it's been going on since
34 years.
Yeah.
I've only been intermittently for past 6 years, I think.
And last year was my first.
Total is 3 years.
But so this year is even bigger and better. So let's just start off by talking what is going on this year. So if you haven't been, you're in for a real treat. But even if you have been, they've added, the Brewers Association have added several more areas and more feedage. So they actually added 90,000 additional square feet in the tasting hall. They're anticipating 60,000 attendees, and last year was actually, for the last like 6 years, it's been at 49. So that's a pretty significant increase. You're going to be able to taste over 3,500 beers, and there's going to be more than 800 breweries pouring. So let's talk strategy and highlights. Well, let's talk about some of the new stuff,
going
on.
So this is really exciting because, I mean, if anyone is familiar with convention planning, which is not exactly my strong suit, but I learned a lot about it just from chatting with everyone about JBF this year. So they made the request for the extra 90,000 square feet of space years ago.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
But they couldn't get it until, you know, this year. So they now have, for anyone familiar with the festival, it used to be a rectangular shape, and now it will be a T shape. So get ready to turn corners and be disoriented at times if you've been as familiar with the festival as I am for years. But what it did is it gave them a lot more space to add a lot of extra features that kind of bring value to the festival that that I think some Uber beer geeks were looking for, because, you know, for them, it's just, you know, it's not just about going and drinking as much beer as possible. It's about going and celebrating craft beer and celebrating what's so great about it. So I really think they've done a great job this year in adding the sort of features that appeal while keeping the festival intact and making it even bigger than ever. So one of the things that I'm happy about, and I'm sure Garrett Oliver of Brooklyn Brewery is very happy about, is the Meet the Brewer section this year, which is a area of, I think, 64, actually a little bit more than that. There are 64 booths, but then there are end caps too. So probably about 75 breweries or so that have pledged to keep staff members of the brewery at the booth at all times, which in past years has been an issue where a lot of, especially in the later sessions of the festival, brewers kind of stray away to try out other breweries stuff.
Mm-hmm. And Garrett's one of the guys that's been devoted to being behind that booth pretty much the whole
absolutely
time as possible.
Yep.
It's always been bad respect.
Every session he's back there. So it's great to see that a lot of breweries have pledged to do it. Hopefully this won't discourage other breweries that are not in that section from doing it, because that's one concern I have, that they're kind of let off the hook, but they shouldn't be. But, you know, it's great because, you know, when you're trying beers for the first time that you've never had before, you want to talk to someone about them. You want to be able to ask questions about them and have an informed answer about them. So I think that's one thing that I'm really excited about this year. And also one other thing about that area, there's a lot more space in that area. The strangest things that happened to me, I managed to get a chance to look at the floor plans of GABF, like the actual like architect's floor plans, over the weekend when I was in Denver. And yeah, there's a lot more space for roaming around in that that area, or for waiting in line necessarily for some of the, you know, some of the like rock stars of craft beer are going to be, are going to have long lines. I mean, Sam Calagione is always pouring, you know, that first Thursday session, you can overhear other people like plotting their strategy before they go inside. And they're like, oh, we have to go to Dogfish first because Sam's going to be pouring and I want a picture with Sam. It'll be very interesting. Also, it'll be quicker to get in this year.
Why is that?
Because there will be two entrances for ticket holders this year. Opposite sides. Well, not opposite sides, but one at the one side of the T and one at the bottom of the T.
Gotcha.
Hopefully that, because that's always been kind of a discouragement for some people, is that, you know, the doors open at 5:30, but if you don't get in until 6:10, like, you, that's, you know, 40 minutes less of value you get out of the ticket you bought.
I have a personal question for you. In this festival, you end up getting one ounce. I mean, there's so many breweries that, that it's kind of, you can't be served. There'd be a lot of wastage if we were pouring 4 ounce samples or you know, even 2 ounce samples. And also, this helps moderate toxicity.
Yes.
But how do you approach that 1 ounce or that 1.5 ounce to understand the beer?
Geez, that's a good question. You know what? I always feel confident that I can at least decide if I want to finish that 1 ounce or not on the second sip. I approach it like I approach any other pour of beer I get, you know, look at it, you know, smell it, you know, mouthfeel, everything like that, you know? But I don't, you know, I don't waste my time if I don't enjoy that.
Sure. I'm just wondering if your first sip is trepid. Are you timid or with that first taste? Dabbling in, or you're like,
I go right in. You know, like,
you're doing a full half ounce, and then you're like, you know,
yeah, and then, you know, I can determine if I want that other half ounce or not.
Yeah,
and maybe I'll go back. You know, and the best thing is, like, you can always go back and get more of it if you actually do enjoy it and want to try more and try to get a better idea of it.
And so how do you strategize the order of which you go?
Jeez. So it's a challenge every year. And with the new floor layout this year, it's going to be more challenging than ever. But what I typically do is I try to tackle – so there's five rows of brewery booths. So I try to tackle two the first day, two the second day, and then the last one the third day, and go back to the ones I enjoyed the rest of that third day.
So one thing is that we haven't mentioned, there is an app. So definitely download the app.
Download the app because you can strategize so much better that way.
Yeah, and you can definitely, you can mark the breweries that you want to visit.
Yep.
Then while you're there, you can always check that out.
Exactly.
Some of the other stuff, because I actually want to talk about the new stuff. And some of the other things that I think get a little bit ignored, especially if this is your first time or, you know, you haven't been there. So first of all, one of the newest aspects of JABF is something called Beer X, and it's the craftbeer.com experience. And it's really cool. There's going to be several aspects to it. There's one that's called Sit and Sip. So these are going to be seminars that are given by brewers, and so basically you're going to be able to sit down and learn about the brewery and their beer directly with the brewer. So there's a whole schedule. There are different ones. I think there's three during each of the sessions, at least three. And there's something else called Craft Beer Deconstructed. So you're actually going to be able to go and touch and smell hops. Same thing with malt. They're going to have yeast going, water that's treated with different ingredients to replicate great brewing water. So that's a cool thing. Like, especially if you're not a brewer, but you want to learn more about the brewing process and what goes into your beer, definitely check that out. They have an Art of Craft Beer. So they've collaborated with some of Denver's most talented artists. And then they have something else called You Be the Judge. And again, that's where you can actually sit down with JABF competition judges and learn more how to taste and evaluate a beer like a certified beer judge. And there's three of those in every session as well. So definitely check it out. You can go to greatamericanbeerfestival.com and go to the education and presentations and learn more about Beer X before you get there. Something else is there's the Brewer's Studio Pavilion. So they're going to have a bunch of different seminars. There's three for each seminar, or for each session, it looks like, around that. All kinds of stuff, from the ins and outs of barrel aging to employee-owned breweries, coffee and beer, all kinds of variety. There's a beer and food pavilion this year. And again, those are going to have, that'll give you a chance to actually sit down. It's first come, first served, but you can actually sit down and you'll be able to taste some beer and food to go along with it. One of them is an old beer and stinky cheese pairing. So those look pretty interesting. All these schedules are on greatamericanbeerfestival.com, as well as in the app, I believe. And then, as Chris mentioned, at the Meet the Brewer, and you can find all of the 2015 Meet the Brewer breweries. All of these things that I just spoke about are all in the same second room that hasn't existed before this year. And then the other cool thing that is not new, but I actually totally missed it last year, was the Pro-Am booth.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something I'm definitely going to check
Janice
out early
Gross
on.
Does a great job over there.
And yeah. That's basically where these are beers that have been brewed by professional craft brewers from award-winning homebrew recipes from AHA members. So that's American Homebrewers Association members. So you can go and taste all of those.
Usually in collaboration with them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then also the Brewpub booth. So
the Brewpub is always great.
Yeah. We tasted some outstanding beers there.
It always gets overlooked.
Yep,
and that's something
I
always stress. The Brewpub Pavilion is a great place to kind of get geographic diversity, get some stuff that you'd never otherwise try. Especially like some of these Brewpubs don't even distribute beyond just their brew pub.
Right, so, exactly.
So it's pretty cool to get access to that. And that list is always kind of fascinating to me. So, they have stuff from Albuquerque, New Mexico, San Francisco, Albany, C.H. Evans will be there, Chicago, Austin, Texas, Minneapolis. I mean, just Whetstone Station from Brattleboro, Vermont is going to be in the Brewpub Pavilion this year. So lots of really diverse stuff. One that I'd recommend there is Yakking Yeti, if you haven't been to Colorado.
Ooh, check it on my... Where's my phone?
Yeah, where's your phone? Add it to the app. They do some... they are like... they do a lot of like... Indian-inspired beers.
Ooh, right up my alley.
they like to add spices and stuff. So it's a pretty cool place. It's a brew pub, obviously. Naturally, they have Indian food, too.
Mm-hmm.
Although they do a lot of traditional beers, too, because that's what, you know, that's what makes the money. And then they can experiment, so...
All right, I have it marked on my app.
That's the other great thing about the app. It lets you mark down which breweries you want to go to and then check them off as you go along. And then on the day of the festival, they add the beers that they'll be pouring. So you can check those off later on.
Then the other cool thing that has been there in years past, but it looks like it's expanded this year, is the Support Your Local Brewery Pavilion. So these are all state guilds, so mm-hmm. state brewery guilds. And a lot of times, you know, not everybody
state
can.
State or city. In our
state
case.
Or city. Yeah. Not everybody can afford to, you know, or has the ability to send their beer, you know, to be poured at GABF. Maybe they can't take time away from their brewery. So the brewers' guilds are a great way to pour a variety of, you know, in-state or city brewed beers. Yep. So definitely check that as well.
That's another place that I think is really underrated because mm-hmm. they have, I mean, it's kind of cool because you can watch a brewery progress because a lot of times the guild will pour beers from breweries that are kind of talked about or breweries that they think are worthy to be represented on the stage to represent their state. That wouldn't otherwise be at the festival. And then years later, those breweries are at the festival. So it's pretty cool to see that. And, you know, that's even my lowly home state of Rhode Island is has been represented in that in that support year.
How many breweries are there in Rhode Island?
12, I want to say.
Yeah, it's like Oklahoma.
Yeah, we're a lot smaller than Oklahoma, so we got them at least on a square mile basis. So,
and we had talked about this before a few weeks ago that this is the first year that there's a brewery from every state at GABF.
I am fairly certain that this is the first time. There had always been like a state or two that was missing in past years, but usually it was one of the Dakotas or West Virginia, and all three of those are represented this year.
Awesome. I will say, so last year, definitely if you're going to JBF, those great big breweries that we all know and love often have very long lines. Don't ignore the small guys that don't. Yep. Just because they don't have a line doesn't mean that they're not serving delicious beverages. So
exactly.
One of our favorites last year was Scratch Brewing Company, which is a very small brewery in Ava, Illinois. That's actually where I was born and raised for part of my formative years. And they actually brought 5 gruits to GABF last year. And let me tell you, that's like one of the first breweries that I'm going to when I get on the floor, because they were absolutely outstanding. So we found we had a lot of really great beer at booths that had absolutely no line, and we had never even, had no idea, have never heard of the brewery. I mean, so there's so many new breweries, so many small breweries all over the country.
And creative ways of presenting them. Why did we just do a giant infomercial on JABF and talk about it all? Well, it's because it's really inspiring to have this kind of experience. The Great American Beer Festival is the crazy beer festival that has something for everybody, something for just every walk of life. Like, no matter how you approach the festival, you have something. So most of the people listening, if they're still listening, probably are not going to the JABF. But try and organize some festivals or go to festivals, approach festivals in your town, celebrate the craft beer community, keep the conversation open, alive through these creative ways of presentation and getting people to experience and really understand those few sips that you get at these beer festivals. No matter how you approach a beer festival, remember, inebriation is not a destination point. It's a perk for those with good taste.
I like that.
I will say one other thing, though. I think, no, JBF is cool. I mean, yes, not everybody gets to go. Truly, I think it's a privilege for us to be able to go.
Absolutely.
But there will be, how many attendees? 60,000 people there. Mm-hmm. So definitely, a lot of those are going to be first-timers. And even if you've been before, it's always good to think about what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
I will say that there's also, so even if you are not going to GABF, but you are in the Denver area or you are getting there somehow, there are a ton of events. I think even if we didn't have GABF tickets, it would be worth it just to go to the freaking 3 gazillion events. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, the brewers will be there. So you'll be able to meet brewers from all over the country at some of these events. So I will put I'm going to put a plug in, not a paid plug, for Beers Made by Walking. So that festival is Wednesday night. It is going to be Wednesday evening, 4:30 to 8 p.m. at our mutual friend, which is a brewery.
Eric Steen. I love that brewery,
Outside
actually.
Space. Eric Steen's not there. He's one of the co-founders of Beers Made by Walking. And tickets are only $30. And that was, we went last year and it was one of our it was a favorite event. I mean, for sure. It was absolutely outstanding. So if you're going to be there Wednesday late afternoon, evening, I would say consider going. And we will see you there.
You will be there? I will not, unfortunately. I will still be on a plane. I always seem to miss that one every year.
Oh, man, it's so good.
I know.
The
other thing that I always look forward to, and I stress, is if you are visiting from out of town for JBF, don't just go to the festival. Don't just go to Falling Rock Tap House, which is consistently mentioned as one of the best beer bars in the country, or Fresh Craft, which I think is quite worthy too. Go to the local breweries. There are some incredible local breweries in Denver. And yes, there's Crooked Stave, which is nationally known. There's Great Divide, which everyone knows. But there are some great small breweries in the immediate Denver area that are just making incredible beer. Denver Beer Company is one that I absolutely love. Ratio Beer Works, which just opened last year. Well, that's the other thing. It's like, even if you go to GABF every year, there's like 15 breweries have opened in Denver just since the last GABF.
We're at a rate of 2 breweries opening every day in America,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, yep. So, there's a lot of great stuff out there. I like, I mean, Epic is really great too. I mean, kind of a bigger name, but they make some pretty incredible beer, and they have a great tap room there. You know, and some of the originals are out there, you know, and Coop is, you know, obviously one of the older brew pubs in Denver. Drive up to Boulder, go to Boulder, which is arguably the oldest craft brewery aside from Anchor that's in existence. So, so there's so much out there to see. Take time to see it all. Don't just focus on the festival, because really, it's Colorado is a embarrassment of riches when it comes to craft beer.
Yes, and other things too. Like last year, we did the Botanic Garden.
That's right.
We did the Art
the
Museum. We hit Happy Leaf Kombuchery, which is still there. So there's a lot of other fermentation goodness that you can
balance. Your time.
Yeah, and if you're not going to GABF, support your local brewery. Don't forget, visit that tap room or brew pub or tasting room tour.
Exactly.
You know, support your local breweries.
And if you find the good in everything, but also let everybody know what you don't like, too. You know, I think that, you know, we all, you know, thankfully, they're...
In a very constructive way.
In a very constructive way.
That does not mean totally diss their beer on Untappd.
Right. That's not very good.
For instance.
Anyway, we'd be remiss not to thank the Brewers Association for all the lobbying they've done over the years to create an environment where two breweries can grow, or two breweries can open every day. Thanks to the American Home Brewers Association. Thank you to Liz Smith, our engineer tonight. Thank you to Chris O'Leary for being our guest tonight. Thank you for Mary staying your final words.
Chris O'Leary from Brew York, New York.
BrewYork.beer.
BrewYork.beer.
Yeah.
Cheers. We'll be back next week.
And
if we're still alive.
No,
just kidding.
I take it back. Take it back, Liz. No, you're awesome. I love you. Fun man. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.